Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
The boxers have been given their instructions. The seconds are out. The crowd is ready for another edition of Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing with your presenter, the boxing historian, Greg Rashid.
Say swatty cup to everyone out there, which means hello in Thai. If you're new to the program, I'm here in Bangkok, Thailand. Lovely day as always this year. This is Greg Rashid, your presenter of another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. If you're new to the program, I just want to say that we do fantasy fights on this program. What if we use various platforms in order to do that? Today we'll use, as we usually do, title bout two PC game. And what we do, we put various fighters in the game to see what would happen. What would happen if Muhammad Ali fought Mike Tyson? You know, whatever we do. And we depend on folks like you who listen to the program to come up with main events on this program. And today's event is going to be two-ton Tony Galeno, a heavyweight fighter back in the 40s, versus Andrew Gallardo, who fought in the 90s and early 2000s. And I put those two fighters together because these are two of the dirtiest heavyweight fighters ever. I mean, they did everything they possibly could to win a fight or lose a fight. They didn't care. Kicking, biting, whatever they could do, gouging eyes, you know, hitting below the belt. It doesn't matter to them. But we're going to have fun with these fights today. But as I always tell folks, besides doing fantasy fights, we also talk about what's going on in the real world of boxing. Because that's what it's all about here, talking about real-world fights and what's coming up. And right now, I want to talk about a fight that's coming up in Vegas on March the 30th. And that's going to be Tim Kazoo versus Sebastian Fedora. And originally, Zoo was going to fight Keith One Time Thurman. This was in the junior middleweight event where they were going to go up against the WBO championship and a WBC championship. And now what happened is, like a week ago, Thurman, he hurt his bicep. And I just think Keith Thurman should retire because he's had problems over the years with injuries and all. He's had a great career, but he should go out now. Doesn't seem like he can heal. He's getting older and it's harder and harder for him to heal up. But who steps into this fight is Sebastian Fedora. And if you don't know Sebastian Fedora, he is 6'5", has this long reach, and he's a junior middleweight. His sister is a great champion in the women's division, but he's out here, and he's going to fight, and it's going to be very odd because Zoo, he's about 5'8", 5'9", going up against him. And I think even though there's a big height difference, I think Zoo is going to knock him out. And it's going to be within three rounds. But I'm going to have right now Zoo and a couple of interviews with Zoo here where he talks about the coming fight. So let's hear from Zoo, Tim Zoo, on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Of course, it's a shocker first, but it's happened a couple of times for me. So it's not something that I'm... wouldn't say I'm used to it, but it's happened a couple times. Obviously disappointed at first because your whole preparation, you're focusing on this one bloke, one style, and it's just a switch. So my shift has changed. Thurman's out of the picture. I'm on to Fedora. There was no hesitation. There's no reason for me to back out. I fear no man. I know I'm the best at 154. I know what I possess. So simple. I'm not the one to fear. He should be fearing me. That's the difference. Have you watched Troy?
It's been a while, but yes.
Remember what Achilles did?
Yeah.
With the man.
Yep.
No, it's not the size of the man in the battle.
And why?
Probably the height, you know, because you come up against Southpaws before, but to come up against the Southpaw that tall, it's not very known, especially in the 154-pound division, you know. So I think that's the biggest challenge that that I've got in front of me, just the tallness.
I was mentioned, was there ever anyone else in your mind or in the discussions?
No, they gave me Fandora or Lara. I didn't want to break Zarefa's heart.
Surely that didn't come into it.
Nah, look, I'm at 154 right now, so I'm chasing glory there.
And you said you got a couple of sparring partners coming in. Like, how many rounds can you get in the next week or 10 days, however long you will be sparring for?
Just a week, so we'll see. I don't know, whatever the coach got planned. I'll get a couple of spars in just to freshen up my mind, and fight night will come in.
Now, Zhu also talks about a potential fight if he wins this fight, which I said I think he will, against Fandora. He wants to fight Terrence Crawford, and Terrence is open to that, and that would be a war, which I think Crawford would win. But let's hear what Zhu has to say about the possibilities of fighting Terrence Crawford. So let's say that right now on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
What's your message to Crawford?
Yeah, that's great, man. You know, like, that's an opportunity to become a great, for sure. You know, this is the first opportunity. To do things that no one else does, save the show, to still start this historic card, and if once the opportunity arises for Crawford, then that's going to be a war.
How different is the kind of pressure you could apply versus like what Spence did? Because Spence tried to apply pressure and just the counterpunching was like a buzzsaw he walked
into. Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be the case with you know, potentially applying pressure?
I think Spence was, I don't know, he didn't look the same, in my opinion. I don't know, from the get-go, he was off balance. Maybe weight trained. It was different. And me and him are a completely different style. You know, he's southpaw, I'm orthodox. Yeah, so it's mixed.
With I got talked about a little bit for June or July. Is that too quick a turnaround for a big fight like Crawford? Or it could be Crawford.
June, July. So what is it now? March. Yeah.
Yeah. April,
May. Yeah, it's sweet, man. Yeah, I've had four fights in 12 months. So
it's kind of sweet, the exception, right? To the rule these days.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so Zhu's talking about he wants to fight Crawford next, and Crawford is in agreement with that. But he's got to get past Fandora first, and I think he's going to do that. I think, like I said, he's going to knock him out, and I say by the third round, he'll be gone. Well, we got another interview here, a little quick one here, and it's another big fight coming up. I'm not sure if this fight is going to come about. This is in the super lightweight division. I'm talking about the fight between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, I mean, if this was another sport, because it's boxing, he really, you know, any other sport, they wouldn't allow this kid to fight. He's been saying some of the oddest things. It's not, I don't think it's like fight hype to get ticket sales and all, get people to look at it on pay-per-view. I think there are some real problems with Garcia, and he really needs to be put in check and see a psychiatrist. Because it's not, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on this podcast, but something's not right with him. If you look at some of the things he's been saying, some of his tweets, his Instagrams, it's really odd. It's really odd. I'm not sure that April 20th fight is going to take place. And even if it does take place, I don't think he can beat Haney. Haney is just too big for him. Haney's in a different world. as far as class of fighter. But one thing that makes me hesitant with Haney and his team, and that's his father, Bill Haney, is that they're teaming up with Victor Conti. Now, Victor Conti, if you don't remember, he was the one that was involved. He created Balco. If you remember that, if you're a baseball fan in particular, and also, you know, an Olympic fan too, he was given a lot of drugs, PEDs, to a lot of well-known athletes during the late 1990s, early 2000s. A lot of folks that lost their titles, lost their championships because he was giving them drugs. He was giving them drugs, and they would use it. And, you know, among those folks, as far as boxers, Sugar Shane Mosley admitted that he used it, Roy Jones Jr., and there's some other folks that used those drugs that he had in Balco. But he has another company now called Snap. And I just don't, you know, you see Haney with him, and Conti just isn't, he's not remorseful or anything about what he's done. But I'm just going to play this little clip right now about what he's saying about Haney. So let's hear Victor Conti on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Well, for this fight, he's training there in Las Vegas. We communicate at a distance. Understand that I've been, a lot of the things that he does are protocols and methods and supplements and testing that he's been doing for years and years. He doesn't have to be at the snack gym to follow through with a lot of the things that we've helped him with over the years. So Devin's my favorite. I mean, he's in terms of respect, because he's been able to monetize, be successful, keep positive, and be stable. And I see that those factors give him a very positive future.
Yeah, I hope it's just the positiveness and not any chemicals or anything, but we shall see. We'll see what happens with that. I hope, because Devin seems like a good kid. He really does. He's humble. He can talk smack, but he's very humble. And I would hate to find out that he's involved with PEDs, but hopefully that's not the case. Well, speaking of PEDs, hold on, I'm not saying that Jake Logan is on him, but it's just, you know, I really wonder about Logan Paul. You know, I was thinking about his brother, Jake and Logan Paul. I really wonder about them. But Jake Paul, as you know, unless you've been in another world, he's scheduled to fight Mike Tyson in the midsummer. That's another one I don't think is going to come about. And if it does come about, it's going to be scripted. It's really going to be scripted. But a lot of people, and I played an interview last week with Oscar De La Hoya voicing his concerns about that potential fight. But right now I'm going to play a doctor who's also written an article about his concerns about this upcoming fight. So I'm going to play that right now on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. So hear that. Let's hear this right now.
Dr. Stephen Hughes, a senior lecturer in medicine at Anglia Ruskin University, has explained why Tyson's previous battle with alcoholism could put him at risk of a tearing of veins in the brain. The immediate effects may be minimal. The boxer may simply recover. But on some occasions, the effects may be devastating, Hughes wrote for The Conversationist. A subdural hematoma can occur. In this condition, shearing forces cause tearing of bridging veins between the brain and blood vessels within the brain coverings or meninges. Bleeding from these torn veins causes a collection of blood that presses on the brain. This causes confusion, loss of consciousness, neurological disability, and in some cases, death. In older people, the brain tends to lose volume. This lengthens the bridging veins and makes them more vulnerable to rupture. Alcoholism is known to accelerate brain shrinkage, and it appears that Tyson has this as a past risk factor. Shearing forces on the brain cause injury to neurons, brain cells. So far, I have concentrated on Iron Mike, but what of his opponent, Jake Paul? He is a much younger man and may well be free of cardiac disease and brain atrophy, which may protect him to an extent. However, he has less boxing experience and is a late entrant to boxing. There are plenty of examples of boxers in their 50s and 60s still fighting well, and defeating younger competitors. If Tyson retains his speed, power, and ability to outwit Paul, then Tyson may prevail. Finally, let us remember that exercise at all ages is good for us, and there is good evidence that boxing in moderation has many health benefits.
And that was my man there, the one and only Knockout Nigel, talking about the article that was written by the doctor, Dr. Hughes, about his concerns about Tyson fighting. Also, I'm glad that he brought up in the article, too, his concerns, too, about Jake Paul, you know, as a fighter. You know, there's a big age difference. He has concerns there, too. But as he says, you know, boxing also, it's a great cardio sport. It's a great way to get in shape. You know, so something that I go to the gym and I see folks, you know, boxing out here, though, it's Muay Thai boxing. But still, it's a great way to get in shape. It really is. You know, it's something. But anyway, in fact, I've been, you know, I love jumping rope. I love that. And it's a great way to just get you your cardio going and give you strength. You know, tighten up your arms, your chest, everything, legs. Great, great thing. And we'll be talking about that more sometime on this show as far as various exercises in boxing. But right now, I want to do one more interview. And this is Bernard Hopkins, the former middleweight champion of the world, the oldest fighter to win a championship. And he's given his concerns about Tyson fighting Jake. So let's hear this on the Show the Road Virtual Boxing Podcast.
I don't like it. Because of the energy, I look at Mike's life, I look at him different. In a way of my era, like people look at Ali. And I look at Ali different too, but not too many people. Marvin Hagler, like Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Robinson. I don't like it. I think it's become more of a side show. With some sweat, maybe some blood. If we're lucky, I won't watch it. I could find, I could watch the Turtles race and be more excited. Is it because of the advanced age of Mike Tyson and the youth of Jake Paul? Is it a mismatch, or is it because how I look at Mike Tyson? And I shared, not only the ring with Mike Tyson a few times, but the era, right? A little tip of the era. I just think it'd be crazy. And you got someone to cover up, like, you get $90 million, $200 million, please. Okay.
As you can see, Bernard Hopkins has the same opinion that, Oscar De La Hoya had in his interview last week. So, you know, boxers, you know, pro boxers are very concerned about this upcoming fight. If it happens, I know it's going to be a big money builder. It's already, you know, people who aren't even into boxing or sports in general, they know about this. And they want to, you know, they're curious to see this thing on Netflix if it happens. But we shall see. We shall see with that. But we're going to get to our fight today, our fantasy fight, what-if fight between two-ton Tony Galeno versus Andrew Gallata. So sit back, you know, let your imagination run wild, get your favorite beverage, and enjoy this fight as we have our commentator broadcasting live, the one and only Knockout Nigel. So let's hear that right now on the Show the Road Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Cheers. This is Knockout Nigel coming to you from Benny's Boom Boom Room in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. This boxing venue, if you want to call it that, is probably a little bigger than my garage in Liverpool. There are maybe 80 people here to witness a bout between two of the dirtiest pugilists in the history of the heavyweight division, two-ton Tony Galeno versus Andrew Gallata. Both fighters come in at 255 pounds, but Gallata is 6 feet 5 inches, while two-ton is 5 feet 8 inches. Galeno said his training routine is lifting a can of beer to his mouth. Galeno has promised, win or lose, to participate in a beer-drinking contest with fans after the fight. By the way, this fight is only the preliminary event this evening. The main event will feature the world-famous ecdysiast Peggy and her incredible dancing pigeons. My God. I will need a triple shot of bubbly to survive this evening. Anyway, this fight will be a 10-rounder, being judged on the 10-point must system. The judges are Brian O'Shea, Ray Hawkins, and Phil Edwards. The man counting for the knockdowns and fouls will be Marty Denkin. The majority of the crowd is at the bar as the bell sounds for round one. I have been promised some bubbly to start the second round. The fighters meet at ring center. They immediately clinch. Out of the clinch, Galento hits Galota with a rabbit punch. The referee issues a warning to Galento. Galota is stalking his man, trying to cut off the ring. Galento throws a leaping right hook for 4 points that appears to have stunned Galota. Galento follows with a 3-point left cross. Galota has backed into the neutral corner. Galento scores with a 4-point right uppercut that snaps Galota's head back. Galento lands a 5-point combination. Galota is in serious trouble. He is allowing the smaller man to dictate the fight. Galota's corner is telling him to clinch, which is what he does. Galota has a dazed look. Out of the clinch, Galota lands a 3-point left jab, followed by a 2-point combination. Galento clinches. He is breathing very hard. This bloke needs some oxygen. The ref separates the fighters. Galento throws a 2-point left hook to the rib cage. The bell sounds. As Galota is walking back to his corner, Galento backhands him with his right hand, causing the ref to issue a warning. It appears that Galento has said something to the ref. I'm not a trained lip reader, but it looks like he said something about the referee's mother and a donkey's hind quarters. That was a Galento round. He had 19 points to 5 points for Galota. The crowd is a partisan 2-ton crowd. Many of these chaps are his drinking buddies. I have received a note before round two begins. The note informs me that this establishment does not sell bubbly. I will have to order it from another place via Grab. Good gracious, what kind of place is this if it does not sell bubbly? I will have to place an order to an outside venue as round two begins. Galota begins the second round as he did before in trying to cut off the ring. That strategy did not work before. Galota misses with a left uppercut. Galento's counter, left hook misses. Galota misses with a combo. Galota is having a difficult time hitting Galento, who is fighting in an extreme crouch. Galento lands a 2-point left cross, then misses the follow-up right cross. Galento clinches. Galento is trying to pull Galota down by the neck. Once again, the ref has to caution 2-ton about his dirty tactics. Galota misses with a right uppercut, but lands a 2-point right cross. Galota lands a 3-point left jab with a 2-point right hook to Galento's beer belly. Galota comes upstairs with a 4-point combo. The bell sounds to end round two. Both boxers grab their crotches, gesturing to show their lack of respect of each other. The pace was slower in the second. Galota won the round with 7 points to Galento's 4 points. I have called Grab, which is scheduled to have my bubbly here shortly as the bell sounds for round three. I have received a note from our Bangkok studio. Since the names Galento and Galota sound the same, I have been asked to call Galento 2-ton from now on. That sounds dandy to me. Galota comes out and a 2-point left jab. 2-ton clinches. Out of the clinch, Galota stomps on 2-ton's right foot. The ref ignores the foul, causing 2-ton's corner to scream in protest. The 82-ton crowd are booing and yelling threats at Galota. Galota grabs his crotch and gestures to the crowd. He better be careful, or else these blokes will storm the ring. 2-ton misses with a leaping left hook. Galota misses with a right cross. 2-ton counters with a partially blocked 1-point combination. Galota misses with a left uppercut. 2-ton misses with a left jab. Good head movement by Galota. Galota lands a 3-point, then right cross, then clinches. As they break out of the clinch, Galota rubs the laces of his gloves on 2-ton's face. The ref steps in and tells both fighters to keep it clean. Keep it clean. Talking to these two about keeping it clean is like talking to a cat to go fetch a stick. 2-ton lands a leaping right cross for 5 points that has knocked Galotta into the ropes. Only the ropes kept him from going down. The crowd is frantic. Galotta clinches 2 ton, which brings a rain of boos from the crowd. Galotta refuses to let 2 ton go as the bell sounds to end round 3. He has 2 ton in a bear hug. 2 ton is screaming in pain. His corner men come out to separate the fighters. One of them throws a wild right hand to Galotta's jaw. Galotta's men are in the ring now also. This will turn into a riot unless order is restored. The only 2 police officers assigned to this fight have stepped into the ring. One of them raises his pistol in the air and warns everyone to settle down or else. The crowd is throwing paper cups in the ring. I am fearful for my well-being. They will need more than 2 of New York's finest to calm this crowd down. Hold on a minute. Peggy is stepping into the ring with her dancing pigeons. The room has become silent as Peggy begins to do her act. So much for the fight as the crowd is whistling for Peggy to do her thing, which she does. Her dancing pigeons are also doing their thing. I have been given a note from the referee. The bout has been declared a no contest. Galotta has already left the building in anger. He has vowed to go back to Poland to appear on Dancing with the Stars. Meanwhile, 2 ton has decided to join his buddies at the bar and enjoy Peggy and her dancing pigeons. Ah! And my bubbly has arrived. I will take a sip to claim my nerves after this wild evening. I haven't seen anything like this since I covered a derby between Manchester City and Manchester 5 years ago. I will return you to our Bangkok studio. This is Knockout Nigel. Cheers. Hey! A pigeon has dropped a G-string into my bubbly glass. Oh, well. Bottoms up.
Yeah, bottoms up. I tell you, you never know what happens with these fights. But, yeah, that was a no contest between Galotta and 2 ton. And I don't know if they'll fight on this program again. You never know. You know, if the promoters out there want them to fight, they will fight again. But like I'm saying, the promoters. You are the promoter of these shows here, these bouts. You are the ones that make the decisions of who I put on here. So if you want to be one and get your name recognized on the program, just send me a note on any platform that you listen to this program, be it on YouTube at Nourished by History, my YouTube channel, or on Facebook at Gregory Rashid, or on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, wherever you listen on the vast world of the internet, wherever you listen to the program, please. You know, say that you want to be a promoter and just come up with some fights. As I always say, I can do fighters from 2010 on back. The only new fighters I have are Tyson Fury, Usyk, Devin Haney, Canelo Alvarez. Those are the only ones I have. But everyone else, you know, and I have a lot of the newer women fighters. So I can do that also. But just let me know if you want, because this is your program. This is definitely your program. And I just want to thank, first of all, I want to thank all the folks that are in Australia. Because I was looking at my analytics. I got so many people that listen to this program in Australia. So I want to say hi to you folks out there, as well as my friends that listen to the program in New York City. A lot of people listening there. And as always, those who listen don't listen on the web, there are folks who listen every Sunday afternoon in Colorado at 3 p.m. Mountain Time on KUHS. Denver.com, created by the one and only Henry Archuleta. I want to say hi to all of my friends in the Colorado region. And we always have a good time on this program. But that last fight, you know, it ended no contest, a strange ending. But there have been so many strange endings in boxing over the years. And Galotta has been involved in a lot of them. If you ever saw the Riddick Bowe fights that he had, those 2 fights, they ended crazy endings. But I'm going to right now have Donna talk about one ending. There's so many I could put on here, but she's going to talk about one right now. So let's hear Donna talk about one crazy ending in the history of boxing.
It may not have changed the end result, but Adolfo Washington can forever hold a grudge against ringside TV cameras. His 175-pound world title challenge against Virgil Hill in 1993 ended when he went to sit down in his corner At the end of round 11, only for his swollen eye to hit an intrusive camera, causing a cut to open up. The gash was so bad that the fight was called off. Hill declared a technical decision winner, and Washington denied the chance to go all out in round 12. Chances are Hill was winning anyway, but stoppage via aggressive TV camera is surely unique in boxing history. Thanks for tuning in again.
Thank you again, Donna. And thank you. You know, she almost was getting ready to end the show. We got a little ways to go, just a little bit. But, you know, Donna, and by the way, some folks are asking me about Shoulder Roll Steve. He'll be back on. Got a lot of folks we have on here that'll be on the program. And we will have, as we've had in the past couple of shows, we've had interviews with boxing experts, actual fighters. And we'll continue to do that. And sometimes we'll have subjects that aren't technically boxing, but are things I think are interest to folks. And we always play music on here. And I want to play, I was talking to a buddy of mine about a performer that's kind of forgotten, but we hadn't forgotten him. And I want to bring him up now. We got a little time left in the program. And I'm talking about Walter Jackson, great, amazing soul singer in the 60s and 70s. And if you don't know him, I'm going to play two cuts from his songs, two of his songs. The first one being Welcome Home, and the next one's going to be Funny. And hopefully, I won't be, you know, cut by YouTube again, because they tend, you know, anytime I play music, they tend to, like, say, okay, we got to block it out. So, again, if there's some silence for the next 6.5 minutes, that's because YouTube has decided to block out the songs. But here, here's Walter Jackson now with Welcome Home, followed by Funny on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
We acted like children. Tell me that you're sorry, darling. I'm as much to blame as anyone. It's over and done, darling. I'm so glad to have you home. This time we'll make it. We'll give love as well as take it. And we'll let pride be something we have in our love, not just in ourselves. Baby, it's so good to have you home.
Welcome home.
Oh, welcome home, my darling.
Welcome home.
Oh, welcome home, my baby. Into my arms, into my heart, into my life. As man and wife forever. Cause we acted just like children.
Welcome home.
Forgive me, cause I feel that I'm sorry.
Welcome home.
Can pass you on the street,
and my heart don't skip a beat, not much, so much my eyes want to cry. Funny how I've stopped loving you. I can listen to your name and it doesn't start a flame. Not much, so much my heart wants to die. Now that you are standing here, darling, I don't shed a tear. This is just the rain in my eyes. And if I have proved to you everything I've said is true, please help me believe my own lies. It's funny, I don't miss all the heaven in your kiss, your touch. No, I don't love you, not touch. No, I don't love you, not much. Now that you are standing here, darling, I won't shed a tear. This is just the rain in my said it's true. Please help me believe my own lies. Funny how I've stopped loving you, and it's funny I don't miss all the heaven in your kiss, your touch. No, I don't love you, not much.
The one and only the late, great Walter Jackson out of Chicago, and that was Funny. Before that, we did Welcome Home. Hope you enjoyed that. Probably someone you've never heard, but he was, you know, I grew up listening to Walter Jackson big and on the East Coast and in the Midwest, and just an amazing performer. And he had polio. He had, you know, he came out on stage on crutches and he would perform and just blow. He wouldn't be the main act, but he would go out there and blow every act that was on the show. Just somebody. You know, but I hope you enjoyed that. And as I always tell folks, we talk about boxing here, but we get into a little bit of everything. I play music on here. You know, sometimes we talk about other combat sports, such as Muay Thai, which is big over here in Thailand, MMA, it's a little bit of everything. But our focus is boxing here. So I hope you enjoyed the program today. And again, I'm Greg Rashid, your presenter. And I want you, if you can do this, please send a special healing vibe and prayer to Roberto Duran, who just went through heart surgery a week ago. And he's here. They say he's recouping, doing well, but send him some love. Really send him some love. One of the greatest fighters of all time. Just amazing. And an amazing person, just personally. Just an amazing guy. I met him 20-some years ago in Denver. Just a nice guy. I mean, in the ring, you don't want to deal with him, but he's just a nice guy. So, again, just send some healing vibrations out there to Roberto Duran. But, again, this is Greg Rashid, presenter here on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. I want to say, go in love and go in peace. Help someone along the way. And remember, when you get up in the morning, get up, look in that mirror and hug yourself and say, I love myself. And if you're sight impaired, get up, hug yourself and say, I love myself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't help anyone. You can't help yourself. You can't do anything. So really love yourself. Know yourself. Be true and honest to yourself. And do what you can to make this a better world. Bring positive energy wherever you are, wherever your community is, wherever you are in the world. Because we're all in this together. This is our sphere. It's our universe. So just do what you can. But again, this is Greg Rashid. Go in love. Go in peace. We'll see you next time on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in again to the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Please remember to comment on this podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on, and please consider becoming a promoter of the podcast. Thanks, and see you next time.